And we are live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be with you this lovely morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a great word this morning. It is a great word. We are in Leviticus, and we're in the book of Mark, and we have a psalm and a proverb. We are going to make it. Today, it is a good day. And my understanding from Mother Valerie this morning in our weather report is that it is going to be a nice day, a real nice day, with the sun out and 62, 60-something degrees today. Woo, what a great day. I'm just happy. Woke up morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And for those that are joining, moving forward for the first time, this is a Bible study, and the whole assignment is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we are on the 21st day of February. Tomorrow's my mama's birthday. Praise the Lord. And we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And today we'll be coming out of Leviticus chapter 13. We'll be in the 25th Psalm, verses 16 through 22. Our Proverbs today is lesson is coming out of chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. And our New Testament is Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. So we have a lot of good word to go through this morning. And I am just happy to have had a great night's sleep, to wake up this morning in prayer, and just to be with you studying the Word of God. Because we know more word, more power, more prayer, more power. We have to pray and lift up the name of Jesus. For God is so good. And his love and his grace and his mercy is always enduring. So let's go into our prayer book this morning. And in our prayer book today, on this 21st day of February, our prayer for this morning is this. Separated, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 1, ESV. Gracious God, there are no words to adequately portray the greatness of who you are. You supersede every paradigm, challenging our man-made systems with your greater law of love. It is hard to comprehend the full significance of what Jesus did on the cross, making a way for us to step into the fullness of right relationship with God without any barriers to separate us. Thank you, God, that guilt and shame are not our portion. Peace with you is. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible sacrifice that broke the chains of sin and death. Thank you for a resurrection. Death could not keep you grave, and it won't be able to do that with your children either. Thank you for life. God, not simply breath, but vibrant life. Here I am again. Fill me with the light of your truth, that I may not miss a single act of your goodness. Can we tell God, thank you? You know, there is this, is there guilt you've been feeling about your relationship with God that you can let go of today? We're going to let go and let God. But God is in charge of our life. God is in charge of everything we do. He's in charge of the breath in our body. And we just say, Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for the joy and peace that only you can bring, God. We are grateful, we are thankful, and we are blessed to be children of the Most High. We are grateful, we are thankful, we are blessed to know that you love us without condition, God. So, Father God, we lift up this mighty word this morning, asking you as always, Lord God, to increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name we lift up this word as we lift up our praise to you, O God. And we say thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. Thank you for the sunrise. Thank you for the crisp air outside. Thank you for our children and grandchildren and just the love that you share with us. In Jesus' name, we look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, Most High God. Amen. And our title for this morning is this, Let Me Not Be Ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Mother Valerie, let me not be ashamed. We have to tell God every day, for I put my trust in you. And as we go into this word this morning, this Leviticus word, we understand that it's talking about leprosy, which is a shameful illness. You know, folks think you're dirty and you're nasty and, you know, you have all these things, sores, and you're turning, if you're brown, you're turning white, and it's just, ugh. So, you know, but God put everything in place to help us. And when we ask for help, believe me, I believe that he does help us. So, Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you for our Leviticus word this morning. And again, for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of Leviticus Chapter 13, verses 1 through 59. Our psalm this morning is the 25th psalm, verses 16 to 22, which is where our title is coming from this morning. And our proverb is Proverb chapter 10, verse 4 through 5. And our New Testament word is Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, people of God. God did it again. He woke us up, gave us a beautiful, beautiful sunrise. God did it again, and he'll do it again. He did it again. God is just a good God. And Pastor was saying her mother's birthday is tomorrow. Janice, my sister, her birthday is tomorrow. And I was supposed to be in California, but I'm still here. And our title for today is Let Me Not Be Ashamed. I put my trust in you. Coming out of Leviticus 13:1-59. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priest. He shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it's a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him, pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and his hair has not turned white, priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. Priest shall examine him on the 7 days. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Priest shall examine him again on 7 days. And if, indeed, if the sore has faded, sore has not spread on the skin, priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. If the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it's turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. Priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. But if the leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of the one who has a sore from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and if indeed if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has a sore. It has all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. He shall examine the raw flesh, pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes, turns white again, he shall come to the priest. He shall examine him, and indeed, if the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Who has the sore, he is clean. If the body develops a boil in the skin and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling, a bright spot, reddish white, then it will be shown to the priest. And if the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin. Hair has turned white. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore which has broken out on the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it's not deeper than the skin but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should be all spread over the skin, priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the hair of the bright spot has turned white, and if it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy, broke out in the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the priest examined it, and indeed there is no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. The priest shall examine him on the 7 days. It has all spreaded over skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place, has not spreaded on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. Priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is a scar from the burn. If a man or a woman has a sore on the head of the beard, then the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it thin yellow hair. Priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scabby leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examines the scabby sore, and indeed, it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scales 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest shall examine the sore. And indeed, if the scale has not spread, there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall save himself, but the scale he shall not save. And the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest shall examine the scale, and if the scale has not spread it over the skin, does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall announce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scales should all spread over the skin after his cleansing, the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill and there is no black hair growing up in it, the scale has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, then the priest shall look. And indeed, if the bright spot on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he's bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on the bald, his bald head, and his bald forehead. Then the priest will examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he's a leprous man. He is unclean. Priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has sores, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Also, if a garment has a leper's plague in it, whether it is wooden garment or linen garment, whether it is in the wrap or the wool or the linen or the wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish, reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the wrap or in the wool or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has plague 7 days. And he shall examine the plague on 7 days. If the plague is spread in the garment, either in the wrap or in the wool or in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is an active leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether wrap, wool, or wool in the linen, or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examined it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, even the wrap in the wool, or anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it 7 days. And the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean. He shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examine it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the wrap or out of the wool or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the wrap or in the wool or in anything made of leather, it is spreading plague. He shall burn it with fire, that in which it is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either wrap or wool or whatever is made of leather, and the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the wrap or wool or anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. You know, God has a way even with clean and unclean, leprous or unleprous, wool. I mean, God has a way with everything. It has to be done decently and in order. Isn't that something? That is really something. Turning this back over to the pastor. Pastor Bridget.
Amen.
Wow.
It's unclean, mother. You know,
my
and that's
Lord.
Why the lepers, remember when Jesus was coming through, the lepers would beg for him to heal them because they still had to run around claiming clean and unclean. I'm unclean. And you think
unclean.
About how that would feel. You know, how that would feel that everybody who saw you knew that you were unclean. Ooh. They went through. The lepers went through.
Yes, they did.
You know, and now, you know, the same illnesses, you know, people, you know, what is it? Where people have the scales on their skin like eczema and different things. You know, you have folks looking at you crazy when you have eczema because, you know, they wonder, you know, are they clean? But, you know, I know my oldest son, when he was a baby, he would get eczema. I remember his doctor, you know, Dr. Sassina, he would look at me and he'd say, mother, mother. He was Asian, and he'd say, mother, wash the baby too much. Mother, wash the baby too much. And I, cause every time, you know, any little thing, he'd be in the tub. And he told me I was washing the baby too much. So, you know, cause what I was doing was drying out his skin. You know, even though I was lotioning him up, and because baby, there's nothing that smells as good as a clean baby. But I was washing the baby too much. So, you know, we have to be careful that we don't wash too much because we could be washing off the skin and the oils in our skin that protect it. So, but told me, wash the baby too much. And that's why I said, too much, wash the baby too much. And so I had to quit washing the baby too much. I had to kind of wipe him off. So, you know, but anyway, God is good. And, you know, again, the words that God gave us for this morning, let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. And the leper come to Jesus, put his trust in God, put his trust in the Savior that he would clear his leprosy. You know, and that is such a blessing to know that there's someone that will clear you, that will clean you up and put you back in order. What a mighty God we serve, Mother. And as we go into our psalm this morning, which is our title word today, and it says this, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. David prayed to God all the time, just like his descendant Jesus prayed all the time. We've got to pray. Prayer changes all kinds of things. And it tells us, and he was on his knees, I'm sure, bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Because we know David was a hot mess. You know,
Amen.
Uriah's wife had two children with her. God took one and one God elevated. But they were Uriah. He took his life for a woman and to cover up his adulterous relationship. David had a lot of repenting to do. And God, God loved him so much because he asked for forgiveness. And he looked at God and he said, look on my affliction
and my pain and forgive all my sins. We all need to ask God to forgive all our sins. And then he said, consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. He was waiting on the Lord. And then he said, redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Then he prayed for his nation. He prayed for himself. He asked for forgiveness. And then he prayed for his nation. That is what a king does. That is what a leader does. They pray for their nations. They don't put them down, call them all kind of names. They don't tell them that it's awful and it's horrible to live in their nation. They lift their nations up. That's what a true leader does. They ask God to bless their nation. But you got to know God to do that. Hallelujah. And that is what David knew God as his personal friend. He said, I am a friend of God. He knows my name. David knew who God was, and God knew David. Hallelujah. And that's what we want, to know God and for God to know us. Proverbs 10 and 4 through 5, and it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. What is what the word say? A man who does not work does not eat, right? And it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. We got to work. We got to go to work. We got to do what we have to do. I am grateful to God that I worked for over 30-some-odd years, really closer to 40, and have a pension. Thank you, Jesus. You know, come on. You know, you work for your future. You work so that you don't have to work as hard when you get old. Praise God. I thank God for my life. I thank God for giving me a work attitude. You know, got things I need to do, but work is important. Again, I like to eat, so I work so I can eat. And this is what it says, what are the consequences of slothful living? You know, God even has a word for it, slothful. In other words, lazy. He said, we know that the Lord is displeased with laziness because it hurts us. Idleness stops us from becoming everything he created us to be, and it prevents us from receiving God's best blessings. In fact, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 tells us, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. It's time to get up. We don't have time to sleep all day. It's too much work to be done. It's time to get up and go to work. Come on now. And it says a tragic thing that people often don't realize is that slothfulness during their youth costs them dearly when they are older, because they function in a dish. As lazy people get older, they notice that they don't have the same comforts and achievements as other people their age. Come on now. So they begin to question why they haven't received the same opportunities that others have gotten. However, the reason they lack those things is because they've been lazy. I say it again. It's because they've been lazy. They haven't made the effort to achieve them. They've chosen the kind of life they're living. So what are the actual consequences of slothful living? Here are several words that describe them. The first consequence of slothful living is problems. When we're slothful, we're going to have problems with ourselves, with our relationship, and with our vocation. We're going to fail to follow God's will for our life because we'll be too lazy to do what God calls us to do. Too busy sleeping, don't have time to get up. Well, got to go to work tonight, so let me sleep all day. You know what? We got to get up. You got to get moving, because I don't know anybody who knows, when you sleep all the time, your body deteriorates. When you're laid down all the time, you can get bed sores, you can get all kinds of stuff. You got to get up and moving. That's why I appreciate senior citizens who walk, who get up, who move. Even when they don't feel good, they get up. You got to get out of bed. You can't stay in bed all day. Removes and takes away your strength. And it tells us in this, the second consequence of slothful living is pressure. We will feel pressure from the people that work with us because we won't be doing our share. We will feel financial pressure because when we aren't performing our job properly, we're either going to lose our job or not be promoted. Come on now. The third consequence of slothful living is pain. We will experience pain because we won't listen to God. We won't take care of our families or our own health. Then when problems come, we'll have no one to blame except ourselves, and that will affect us psychologically. The fourth consequence of slothful living is poverty. Come on now. Some people can never find the right job, yet more than likely that is because they've never proven themselves trustworthy in any of their jobs. They would eventually have a better career if they put some effort into it. Come on. Dr. Stanley, no, he's preaching this morning. The fifth word that describes the effects of slothful living is penalty. There are penalties both now and later for laziness. There are both earthly and eternal consequences. 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 says, each one's work will become clear, but the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. That is, whatever we've done in this life that's selfish, lazy, or wicked will burn up. Whatever we've done that honors God will remain forever. That's why we must be obedient to God every day. If we are accustomed to doing our best to honor him in every situation, we'll react in a way that pleases him no matter what the situation. However, if we are lazy and selfish, we'll eventually find ourselves facing terrible penalties. Therefore, we should heed the instruction of Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Let us be like the ant, working, preparing, providing for the future, because we know that if we are diligent in obeying God, as the ant is in gathering food, then God will teach us what we need to do for every situation and all that we do honor him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We cannot be lazy. We got to go to work. You know, you hear me say all the time, I got to go to work because I work my part-time job because, one, first and foremost, it's a calling. But second, it's so that I have that extra money if I want to take the kids' choir out to eat. I have that extra money if I want to take my grandchildren to the movies. I have that extra money if I need to go and buy some extra food at my home. You know, we got to make sure that we have a little something extra, and it's not a problem when you work. You know, I work for God, and I know that's who my employer is, because when I take care of my seniors, it's because I do it for God. And sometimes, as the one commercial I hear says, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. You know, but the bottom line is, it's not always that way. And when you do something from your heart because you love God's people, watch God bless you. And I'm believing in the blessings of Abraham. I'm believing in the blessings for my children, for my grandchildren. I'm believing God for the great things that are coming in my life. I believe it because I trust him. And that's what we have to do. But we have to get up and go to work. Whatever your job is, Mother Valerie, our job is to get up every morning and do this word and preach this word and teach this word. That's a vocation. That's a job. We work for the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you working for God this morning? are you just laying around? We got to get up. It's time to go to work. Jesus is coming. We can't be slumbering. We got to be up and ready with our oil full. Hallelujah. Didn't mean to preach this morning, but God is in charge. Hallelujah. And as we go into our New Testament word this morning, and it says, you know, Jesus, again, he's here on us. He was here on assignment. He was here to save the sinful. He was here for the sinful. He was here for a nation filled with sin. And then he took not only the sin of them, but our sins too. He took our sins to the cross. Hallelujah. And it says, and he entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely. You know, folks always trying to create confusion. They watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? Put it back in their court. To save life or to kill? And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the others. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. What did he ask him? I got to ask that question again. And he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? He asked the question. Because they was getting ready to jump on him for doing good. And he asked them, should I do evil? Come on now. He looked around at them because he knew they had a hard heart, didn't care about anybody but themselves. But yet they all up in the church gossiping and creating confusion. And now they want to kill him because he made them look bad, because they were bad. And then it says, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and the Mea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. But he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him, cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. They was trying to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell who you are. He's like, shut up. You know, it's not time.
Amen.
And he went on up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they may be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. He picked 12 to give power to. He picked out 12 to be in his small circle. He had many disciples, but he had 12 that would become apostles. We know that one is going to mess up. And he going to die. But the rest of them, they all die horrible deaths. The only one that doesn't is John, who lives to be an old age. But all the rest dies in pretty horrible ways. But let us go to the word and see who Jesus picked. And he said, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges. That is sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. and they went into a house. And as we go through Mark with some life lessons from Dr. Stanley, the first is from Mark chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. When we exchange the freedom of the spirit for the straitjacket of legalism, the rules become far more important than the life that the rules were meant to guard. Legalism saps the life out of everyone it touches. You have folks who say, well, this is my job, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, forget that pastors are in charge of everything. Our pastors are in charge, and we go with whatever the pastor needs us to do. Sometimes the pastor might set you down. It's for a purpose, and it's for a reason. Don't get mad. Just sit down. I know I've been set down. I've set myself down. Because when your spirit is not right, you don't need to be teaching. You don't need to be preaching. You don't need to be singing. You need to be sitting, getting the word of God. And sometimes we need to set ourselves down when we don't have the right spirit. God knows our hearts. God knows when we're so legalistic. These guys were so Sabbath crazy that they forgot that the Sabbath was made for men. But God, remember it and keep it holy. Instead, that was not wanting to keep it holy. That was wanting to run here, run there, do this, do that, and watch people. I'm going to watch them. Are they going to preach today? Are they going to sit today? What are they going to do? Let me watch. You know, folks watching you instead of getting into the spirit themselves, they too busy watching to see what somebody else is going to do. We got to get out of that manipulative spirit and get into the godly spirit that God has called us to do. And he said when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. You got some folks in church that have harder hearts than the folks out in the street. And it says, there are some mean Christians. I'm just going to call it like it is. There are some folks that are so caught up in themselves that they forget to be caught up in Jesus. And it says, do you ever picture Jesus as angry, as grieved over hard hearts, as the perfect reflection of his heavenly Father? Jesus is both angered by sin and grieved by unrepentant hearts. He takes sin seriously. And sometimes we can have the sin of pride, so prideful that we forget to give God praise, so prideful that we think everything is about us. We got to be watchful. As we, on our word yesterday, we got to watch as well as pray so we don't fall into sin. And pride is a sin. Mark 3:14, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Jesus trained his disciples primarily by being with them, walking with them, talking with them, eating with them, observing them, asking them questions. There is no substitute for investing time with others. And that is a blessing. You know, I think about my own pastor. You know, we have weekly meetings for the ministerial staff so that we get poured into, so that we are trained, so that we learn how to do a marriage, how to minister, how to even preach. We are being trained, so we have a weekly meeting. And those meetings are important in attendance because you learn something. And now not only are we having our meeting, but we're going out and teaching and preaching and taking food to the homeless. Come on now, that's a blessing. We're taking ministry out of the four walls and into the world, because sometimes the world doesn't come into the four walls. And that's what Jesus did. He took his disciples out of the four walls into the highways and the byways, and then he taught them how to do what he needed them to do. He sent them out to preach, and he gave them power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. He taught them what to do. That's why it's important when you are in ministry that you go to training, that you go to classes, that you get education, because it helps you. It helps you be a better minister. You know, not trying to be a preachy person, but we have to preach and teach and be who we say we are. And to have a David spirit, let me not be ashamed in you. We got to put our trust in God. Trust God. And know that he will never lead you astray. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And that is all our word for this morning. If there is anyone that God has put a word in your spirit, a word in your heart to share this morning, now is the time to push that one on your phone. If you are on Blog Talk Radio, call in, which is 213-943-3597, 7298. I see you, and your line is opening. Your line is open, 7298.
Hey, Pastor Burgess.
Good morning.
I was just pressing to let you know I'm going to be admitted to the hospital. I had sharp pain in my left side last night at 2 a.m., and I wound up calling the ambulance.
Let's take a minute, and we're going to stop. Mother Valerie and I are going to pray over you, Sister Tracy. But we know that God has got you covered. So, Mother Valerie, I'll give it over to you to pray for Sister Tracy's healing. Hallelujah. Healing of mind, healing of body, healing of spirit. Mother Valerie.
And Father God, in Jesus' name, this is your child, Tracy. You said from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet that she's covered. You said, you're the one that said the hair on her head is numbered. You said it, God. And you also said, by your stripes she's healed. For you took 39 stripes for the healing of her body. You said the healing will come. And it's already done. You said this. And I'm repeating your words to her, the things that you have said. Healing comes. And God, we thank and praise you for Tracy, for she is faithful. She's a faithful child of the Most High God. She is your child. And God, you said the healing came like a calf out of a stall and she would grow up. Lord, you pronounce healing. I can't pronounce healing. All I can do is repeat your words. And I'm repeating your words because your words are in your book. And we thank and praise you for healing, God. Heal her body right now. You said when two touch and agree and ask the Father anything in Jesus' name, it shall be done. So it's already done because we are two, Pastor and myself, we are two touching and agreeing that her healing is already done. And God, we will give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it. We took it to the throne and not to the phone. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you. Thank you, God. When we are troubled, when we are not well, you said, come to you. We're coming to you. For that's what Solomon did. He says, for I am desolate and afflicted. And he said, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. I am desolate and afflicted. And Lord, this is what we're doing. We're doing what you say to do. We're turning ourselves over to you, and we give you praise and honor and glory, for she is yours. She belongs to you, and the devil done touched her body. We know that it's of the devil when a person gets sick, that Satan have touched their body, whether it happened at night or daytime. So we ask in Jesus' name, let it be so, because it's already done. And we want to thank and praise you for it, Father. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. This is for your glory. Her healing would be for your glory, God. And we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, I want to read, if nobody else is on the line, Psalms 25:16-22. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. Troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain. This is for Tracy, too. And forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies. They are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed. That's the title. For I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Redeem Israel, O Lord, out of all their troubles. Redeem Tracy, O Lord, out of all her troubles. Redeem her. And God, we will give you the praise. We praise your holy name, for you are God. And there's, you know, we don't have nowhere else to go. We can't go to Buddha, to a cow. We have to come to our Father. For you are our Father. You're Abba. You're our Father. And we have nowhere else to go, so we take it to the Lord in prayer. We're doing what you told us to do. We praise your holy name. And like Solomon said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. We just like Solomon, God. Renew a right spirit within us. Forgive us for all of our sins, knowingly, unknowingly. Forgive us for wrong thoughts. And help us, God. Help us in the way that we should go. We want to be like Jesus. We want you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We don't want you to say, depart from me. I know you're not. God, we're not living this life to be living this life in vain. That's not our purpose. I mean, we're living this life, and we live in this life the way you taught us to do, to forgive us for sinful thoughts if we have offended anybody. Say, don't let yourself go to bed with anger. If you have offended or hurt somebody's feelings, call that person or text that person. Don't go to bed with anger in your heart against anybody, because it's not going to hurt that person. It's going to hurt you in the long run. So, Lord, we're living this life for you, and we're trying to do the right thing. That's what we want. We want to do the right thing. We want to live like Jesus Christ lived. What would Jesus do? What would he do? Would he say nice things to people, or will he say evil things to people when people have hurt you? When people have hurt you, they are hurting people themselves. So they might spit out something hateful. And you have to know that that person that spits out hateful things, they're hurting themselves. And they take it out on you. So we have to forgive people and keep on keeping on. And ask God to forgive us. Forgive us. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and on my pain and forgive all my sins. God, forgive every sinful thought, every sinful way, and consider my affliction and my pain. Heal Tracy, because you said that it's already done. You said before we even call, you have answered. So I believe your word. I have no other way to go but to Christ, to Jesus. I believe your word because your word is true. Everything that you said in your book is true. You are true. You're kind. You're merciful. And you are good. You are a good God. And I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor, because you probably have a word from Carolyn. And we just thank you, Lord, for you are Abba. You are Father God. And you love your children. More than the waves of the ocean is your great love for us. We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Turning this back over to the pastor, Bridget. Pastor. But God is just good. He's really good. And God redeems us out of all our troubles. He does that. And like she was reading, he don't want us to be slothful in our living. He don't. Because slothful living causes you problems later on. And she read all of that. And God is good. He wants us to be like the ant who gathers in summer. Is to talk about the wise son. God is just good. He's good all the time. And all the time, he is good. He's just good. God is a father. And he wants to reign on us. He wants to make us happy. And he wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to be prosperous. That's what God wants. He wants us to have prosperity. And he wants us to be prosperous. And he said, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. And that's what God do. God wants us to be wise and live in prosperity. He do, because he's Father God. And, you know, when you're happy, he's happy. God is just good. He's good all the time. It doesn't matter what you go through. And I think about Rita, the different things that she went through. But right now, she's in the presence of Almighty God. Each and every one of us will have to do what she did. She went into his presence, and God gave her a new body. She no longer have to wait for people to take care of her because she's with God. And when you're with God, you have a brand new body. Body like Jesus. You can go through walls. You can scratch your own nose. You can jump up and down. Oh, my goodness gracious God. God is gracious. God is kind. God is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And the thing about it, each and every one of us will have a new body. A trace of that body that's hurting you, not going to hurt forever. Because when absence from the body is with the Lord, and then we're going to go to God. Eventually, all of us have to do what Miss Rita did. I thank God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor where she can read from Carolyn, what Carolyn gave of today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Mother Valerie, for the recap and for praying for us, Sister Tracy. We know that God is able to do all that he says he will do. And as always, Sister Carolyn's word is on time and on point. And our word for this morning is sometimes it's the loss of things in your life that makes you appreciate what you have. I'm going to say it one more time. Sometimes it's the loss of things in your life that makes you appreciate what you have. Remember, there's always someone else who's worse off than you. Be grateful. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We're going to have a grateful day. We are ready to wrap it up. And as always, we pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. As always, be grateful and have a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, there's somebody that's worse off than you. Be grateful that God is giving you another day because he loves you, he cares about you, and he wants the best for you. So, family, Rita, it's a wrap. Go to work, and I got to feed a baby. So, love you all, and have a great day.
It's a wrap.